Father God, on this Advent Sunday, open to us afresh your word, that we might more deeply know the truth of what your coming to us in Jesus means. Amen. I love Advent. I love the turning of the church's year that Mark was talking about at the beginning of our worship, as we begin to map again the coming of Jesus from long-awaited promise to resurrected glory. I love the excitement and the anticipation of what's to come as we walk through December, the lighting of candles, the opening of doors on Advent calendars, and the counting down of days. Of course, we know that this year is going to be different. It's going to be very different. But in the midst of all of that, I really want to encourage you to engage well with this wonderfully rich season of expectation and preparation. Christmas is going to be different, but only outwardly, only in the manner in which we're able to celebrate. The message of hope and joy and wonder, that all remains the same. And that hope, that joy, and that promise must be celebrated as well as we're able, for this is good news. The prophet Isaiah said long ago, "The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light." We're living in dark times, but into that darkness shines the light of Jesus. Christmas is good news precisely because it breaks into the darkness of our lives with its message of hope. And preparing to celebrate and share that truth with others, despite all the limitations that we're living with, was never more important. We begin a new sermon series this morning, thinking about Mary in the opening chapter of Luke's Gospel. And our reading today, it records the moment that Mary learns that she is to be the mother of Jesus, that is God's long-awaited King. And what I want us to think about this morning is Mary's response. Mary's response to God's call, to his word, and what this might have to say to us. And her response is recorded by Luke three times. Initially is what she thinks and feels, and then what she actually says. So if you have a Bible, it'd be great if you could turn to Luke chapter 1. And in verse 29, we find that first response of Mary. Mary was greatly troubled at his, that is, the angel's words. She was greatly troubled and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Wondered what kind of greeting this might be. It interests me that Mary appears to be more troubled by Gabriel's words than by his appearance. Perhaps that's got to do with how we think about angels. We tend to think of them with wings and halos and flowing white robes. If you look back earlier in chapter 1, you'll see that Zechariah, that's the father of John the Baptist, he appears to be frightened by the appearance of an angel. But then Zechariah expected to be in the temple alone, and so anyone appearing by his side suddenly was scary. So we don't have a reason to think that Gabriel looked any different. He might have done. Rather, it's his words which trouble Mary, and she wonders at their meaning. Those who know biblical Greek far better than I do suggest that the words that we have as greatly troubled are more accurately translated as puzzled, perplexed, as an intense or concerned curiosity, and I love that, an intense or concerned curiosity. An intense or concerned curiosity at Gabriel's word. That is God's word. For angels are God's messengers. They only, what they speak is what the Lord himself has told them to say. And Mary wonders at Gabriel's greeting. This is the kind of pondering which Luke tells us that Mary is very good at. In chapter 2, there's a couple of occasions where we read that Mary treasures and ponders things. She wonders, she treasures, she ponders on the word and the works of God. And this is the first thing that Mary's response tells us, that we are to share that same intense curiosity for God's word. We too are to wonder, to ponder, to treasure the work of God in our lives. The season of Advent is all about pondering and reflecting. It's one of the things which no amount of restrictions or limitations can take away from us. The time to pray and think about the things of God. We can't shop as we like, we can't go where we want to, we can't see the people that we want to, we can't meet up in the same way. There are limits on all sorts of things that we normally do. But there is no limit and there is no restriction on prayer, on pondering, on reflecting, on treasuring the things of God. So let us take time this Advent, like Mary, to hear God's word, to ponder on his promises, to reflect upon his good purposes, to show an intense curiosity for the works of God. And by this, we will discover that no matter how dark things are, the light of Christ shines ever more brightly. Mary's second response is spoken. It amuses me that Gabriel's efforts to reassure Mary, do not be afraid, he says, his efforts to reassure her involve telling her something which is actually deeply troubling, that she, an unmarried woman, is to have a baby. In the first century Middle East, this was not good news. And yet, Mary's reply is not around her fears about how this will play out, but rather one of wonder that she is to bear a child. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. How will this be? Mary's response is not the disbelief of Zechariah, which we read of earlier in this chapter in Luke. Rather, Mary's response is one of wonder at the miracle of God's promise. That promise that we read of in this passage, verse 31, you will conceive and bear a son. You will call him Jesus. He will be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants. His kingdom will never end. Mary doesn't really understand this. She doesn't understand how this is possible, how this is all going to happen, but she marvels. Advent calls us to marvel at things that we don't understand. How the divine becomes human, how in Jesus God walks the earth, how promises made long ago are fulfilled in Bethlehem. To marvel that we, like Mary, enjoy God's favour, that God loves and values us enough to send his Son to die for us, that this God uses ordinary people living in obscure places. Nazareth was considered a very obscure place, that God uses ordinary people and obscure places to fulfill his good purposes. To marvel that joy and peace can be known in the face of suffering and death, that there is life beyond the grave and Jesus will return, that there will be a new heaven and earth filled with God's glory. To marvel at what makes the sun rise and the stars shine and vaccines made. To marvel for God's gifts enabling people to make breathtaking art and soul-stirring stories and heart-stopping music. That in a world where it's easy to focus on what is wrong, there is much more which is good and loving and beautiful. Like Mary, there is much we don't understand. There is much we cannot fathom. But like Mary, we can marvel at what God has, can, and promised he will do. Mary's final response. At the very end, verse 38, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled. What amazes me is Mary's generous and willing acceptance, a generous acceptance which goes way beyond, okay, God, if you like, if you say so. Her response is way beyond a kind of passive resignation, a kind of whatever. Rather, Mary's is an open-hearted embrace of God's call, a trusting surrender of herself to the good purposes of God and all that that will mean for her. I am your servant. May your word be fulfilled. A few weeks ago, I was preaching on the first chapter of Jonah, and I spoke about how living out our own particular call in current circumstances can feel tough, that none of us envisaged following Jesus would involve living with restriction and the suffering of a global pandemic. Mary's wholehearted response to God, her willingness to embrace all he asks of her, speaks like Jonah, I think, into our current situation too. Mary has no real idea of what wholeheartedly embracing God's call will mean. She has no idea how God's call on her life will work out, of the joy and pain which lies ahead as she mothers Jesus. Many would be the occasions, I'm sure, when she questioned God's wisdom. Times when Gabriel's promise felt like a distant dream, that as she watched her son die on the cross, the angel's words of greatness and thrones and never-ending kingdoms, that those words felt hollow and cruel. Time and again, Mary would have needed, I'm sure, to return to that moment when God's word to her was clearly heard through Gabriel, to the moment when she knew with heartfelt certainty the favor of God, the moment when she marveled at the divine message and the miracle of conceiving and bearing the child of which the angel spoke. Likewise, in times when our own call to follow is tough, we too, like Mary, need to hold on to God's word and his promises, to remind ourselves of the moment we first responded to his call, when we committed ourselves to following Jesus, to remember how that felt, to reflect on ways in which we have experienced and known God's special favor in the past. The very last reference to Mary in the Bible is in the first chapter of Acts. After the ascension, she's named there alongside the apostles and others who had gathered in Jerusalem to await the coming of the Holy Spirit. Things had turned out gloriously different to how she'd imagined, I'm sure. The king of whom Gabriel spoke turned out to be a very different kind of king. And Mary will know that God's word has some way to go before it is 100% fulfilled. But she's still there. She's still trusting. She's still holding on to the promise of God. She's still giving herself wholeheartedly. She's still pondering and marveling at the word and the works of God. Through her response to God, Mary models for us one who is intensely curious about God's word and his ways, one who ponders, reflects, one who marvels in wonder at what God has done and promises to do, even when she cannot fathom how or why. Mary models one who wholeheartedly accepts God's call, who trusts even though she cannot see the path down which that call will take her. May we, like Mary, ponder, marvel, and trust ever more deeply the word and works of God this Advent, and by so doing, know more of the light which shines brightly, even in darkness.